بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight we will discuss the 13th juz of the Quran. I'd like to just introduce myself. My name is Mariam Qudrat. I chair the Youth Services Committee here at the Islamic Center, and I also am the chair of the Sunday School Board. And we have a brand new JYG, or Junior Youth Group Director, who has come to join us here, and she's an experienced teacher named Iman Khalil. We have lots of great programming, and on Sundays you should take advantage of these, as well as a new online module. We'd like to really push for more technology here at the Islamic Center, and so stay tuned in the fall for what's called Arabic Lee. Arabic L-Y is developed and designed by Muslim youth, for Muslim youth to be able to actually further the knowledge of Islam. In terms of the sort of having a woman here standing in the Islamic Center giving the commentary in the month of Ramadan, I think we would be remiss if we did not owe a debt of gratitude to Dr. Khuluqi. Because my understanding is that for many years there was a push by him to bring women to speak at the Islamic Center at these sorts of occasions, and so we really owe a debt of gratitude there. And that really is the topic of moving from darkness to light that I want to focus tonight's review of Juz 13 on. So the juxtaposition of darkness to light is what I'd like to concentrate on for this evening. So going into the parts of the Quran that we are going to discuss, it's the second part of Surah Yusuf, all of Surah Ra'd, and all of Surah Ibrahim. So Surah Yusuf was named obviously after the Prophet. It was revealed in Mecca prior to the Hijra, but both Surah Ra'd and Surah Ibrahim were revealed towards the end of the Prophet's time in Mecca, when the persecution of Muslims were at its peak. So imagine that this is a time of extreme darkness, severe hardship and suffering and pain at that time that was happening, that these verses were revealed. So to give you an overall sense of the juz, I'd like to share verses and quotes related to education, because obviously it is education that is especially close to my heart and on the theme for tonight, which is shifting from darkness to light. So the first verse of the surah states, Alif Lam Ra, this is a book which we have revealed to you, that you may bring forth mankind from every kind of darkness into light, and direct them with the leave of their Lord to the way of the mighty, the innately praiseworthy. So in fact, all of the educational objectives, as well as our spiritual objectives, our material aims of the revelation in the Holy Quran are condensed into this single sentence, leading the people from the darkness to the light, which means directing them towards enlightenment from the state of utter darkness, or directing the people from the state of darkness of paganism towards the state of illumination of faith, from the state of the darkness of oppression and tyranny towards the state of enlightenment of justice, from the state of corruption and injustice into the state of righteousness and justice, and from sin to piety to virtuosity, and finally from the state of disunity and dispersion into the state of unification, as we see here tonight in this Islamic Center, in spite of all differences, this unification. So there are many lessons learned from the depth of difficulty and darkness in this juz. For instance, the lessons learned from betrayal at the hands of his brothers that Prophet Yusuf endured. Imagine that kind of deep hardship that he went through. the work of the righteous that was not lost in spite of not seeing immediate gratification or immediate reward at that time, they do see their rewards eventually and certainly in the hereafter. So going through the Juz, the Prophet Yusuf revealed his identity to his brothers eventually after they were moved to Egypt due to the famine. Prophet Yaqub's family comes to Egypt and he honors his parents. He forgives his brothers. We see Allah's signs in nature in this Juz through all of the plagues and difficulties. And we find that the truth has an abiding power. And this is a recurring theme in this Juz, that the truth has an abiding power. And even though people in the past denied Allah's prophets, and we found that their ends were all demise, in all of the cases, this is what happened in the end. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of Allah, and the witness, of course, are all those who have the knowledge of the scriptures of Allah. Alhamdulillah, this congregation itself. And again, the purpose of the Quran is to lead humankind to light. So the goal of Surah Ra'd is to illustrate the power of truth and the weakness of falsehood. It takes its name from the thunder mentioned in verse 13, and it is a powerful and emotional chapter that appeals both to the heart as well as to our sense of logic and reason. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the Prophet and reassures him that most of your people are rejecting the teachings of the Quran for various reasons, but the fact is that what we are sending to you is the truth, whether or not people choose to believe it. And then the discourse deals with the main subject of this surah, which consists of three basic things: that the universe in all of its entirety belongs to Allah alone, and none besides him has any right to worship. This type of unity is something that is signaled as an important theme in this Juz, and I'm going to conclude my talk really focusing on deconstructing the concept of Tawheed, the concept of unity in the one God. The second point is that there's another life after this life in which you shall have to render an account of your actions. And then thirdly, that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is in fact the messenger of Allah, and that everything that he presents is from Allah. So the oneness of God, as I mentioned, is a very important part of this Juz, and I'd like to take a few moments to really focus on this. We always say, various times of the day, we always say to ourselves, "Ya la ilaha illallah." We believe in the one God. And we know that Tawheed means oneness of God. It's the indivisible oneness concept of monotheism, which is the central and single most important part that our faith rests upon. It constitutes the foremost article of the Muslim profession of faith. This is the first part of the Shahada. To attribute divinity to anything or anyone else is considered shirk, which is an unpardonable sin according to the Quran. So Muslims believe that the entirety of the Islamic teaching rests upon the principle of Tawheed. The entirety of the Islamic teaching rests upon this. So therefore, I'm going to give some time to this. So this uncompromising monotheism that is at the heart of Islamic belief is distinguished, and it distinguishes Islam in particular. So let's go through three main levels of Tawheed. So Tawheed meaning the unity of the essence, the essence of Allah, unity of the divine attributes of Allah, and then unity of the divine actions. So each of these are divided into subcategories of Tawheed, such as unity in creatorship, unity in guardianship, unity in sovereignty, unity in obedience, unity in legislation, unity in worship. So depending upon how much time I have, I would like to go through these. Dr. Khulqi, how much time do I have?
You have 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Okay. So let's go ahead and run through this. So number one, Tawheed of the Divine Essence. Tawheed of the Divine Essence means that God Almighty is one and doesn't have any match. One of the most manifested attributes of God Almighty is that He is single and no second can be assumed for Him. And this is what theologians technically name Tawheed of the Divine Essence. It refers to, in order to negate any peers, any comparable matches, and so this type of Tawheed is actually mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas. So this is a common kind of unity that we understand. The essential Tawheed, the kind in which He doesn't have any components. So there are no components to Allah Almighty. And none is like Him, and none comparable to Him, meaning that there's no entity even similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is the Tawheed of the Divine Attributes. So all theists agree on the fact that God possesses every attribute of perfection and beauty pertaining to His essence. So whether this be knowledge, power, life, and this is what we refer to in terms of these divine attributes. Then we have Tawheed in creatorship. So formal proof and intellectual deduction dictates that there is no other creator in this world other than the glorified, the one God. So contingent beings, their actions, their effects, even the human beings and all of their discoveries and inventions are, without exaggeration, all the creation of God. And so everything in existence is His creation. However, some are directly His creation while others are indirectly. So when we talk about Tawheed in creatorship, we refer to that overarching sense of unity. What about Tawheed and guardianship? So this refers that to the fact that all of the affairs of the world, of the countries, nations, our lives, those who came before us, after us, all of the affairs are managed by God. So what is intended by the guardianship of God is that He is the ultimate manager of our affairs, the guardian of this world's affairs, and this is believing in this Tawheed of guardianship is to believe that the good and the bad and planning of life all belongs to God, even though there might be subsidiary planners and means. So as we all work through what we project our lives to be and our futures to be, we must always be mindful of this level of Tawheed and guardianship. And as well in sovereignty, which is an aspect of this guardianship, so that all sovereignty belongs to Allah Almighty. And the last few refer to Tawheed and legislation, obedience and worship. The privilege of being obeyed and served is restricted to God Almighty. And the right to legislate and set legal terms is also confined to Allah Almighty, and no one else can do so unless he refers to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet in terms of the legal framework that governs human beings. And finally, Tawheed and worship, as we worship here tonight, means that there is no one worthy of worship but God Almighty, and Muslims have a consensus generally on this type of Tawheed. And I'd like to close with this verse. And certainly we raised in every nation a messenger saying, serve Allah and shun the false gods. Again, it is the movement that from darkness to light. And that is the struggle that we have to continue in our lives as we try to overcome our difficulties, our pain, the suffering, and we try to move towards the light. Thank you very much, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.